3 feet away and talking in my normal tone of voice, and that should pick up something anyway. Maybe not the best, but it might.
On this side of the tape, Lee Collins is going to talk about the history of the Housatonics.
What are the Housatonics?
The Housatonics, I can give you the background, I can give you the history, the founding, and what they began as. The official title is the Housatonics Barbershop Chorus. Tonics with an S, the Housatonics Barbershop Chorus. So they are a men's chorus of guys who like to sing barbershop. That's the way we started out. I think today they have branched more into different kinds of music, but still it is a barbershop format type of music.
When did they begin?
I believe it was 1986. And our church used to have what we call progressive dinners.
This is the congregation.
The Congregational Church in Salisbury. And we used to have progressive dinners. And those were dinners where it was arranged that anyone in the congregation who wanted to do it, and there would be 80 to 100 people, maybe, it would be arranged that you would go to somebody's house for hors d'oeuvres and a glass of wine, and then you would go to somebody else's house for the main course, and it was a different crowd.
Yep.
You would have a different, and then you went back to the parish hall, the church parish hall, for dessert. And it was very well organized, and it was something people looked forward to. We did every 2 years. And there was usually some form of entertainment, or there tried to be some form of entertainment at the dessert afterwards. And this particular year, Julie Aller said to Al Sly, Al, why don't you get together a barbershop quartet? That would be fun to hear. Well, Al didn't.
That was not his thing.
Well, at the time I thought, no, that's not his thing. And I said, Al, why don't you let me do it? This is something I'm interested in. Now, in retrospect, I know that he did extensive arranging of men's chorus music for several, at least two different, I think it was Brown University, and I don't know if this is actually true, but I know Mark Capsulatro sang with the Colgate group, and that he may have had some experience with that too, but I have seen the arrangements that he did for, I believe it was Brown University. And they're fantastic choral arrangements. Anyway, at that time, I said, let me do that, because I've sung in a couple of different barbershop quartets that I've sang in just informally when I was in high school, and had a lot of fun with it. Anyway, so I said, well, you know, what we're going to do, we're going to get as many guys as we can. And so we will rehearse for about 4 or 5 weeks, and we'll use music, and we're going to be done. Because I've found over the years that if you tell somebody, okay, we're going to do this, it's going to take commitment for 4 or 5 weeks, and then we're done. I find it's easier to get people when you do that. And so we did. And so we had 18 guys. We had 18 men, and we sang probably 4 or 5 songs, and it was a great hit. Everybody loved it. it was fun, and everybody walked away fine. The following fall, Eleanor Dorset, who was a teacher up in Massachusetts, she retired. Now, I forget how it worked. I think she retired or she was moving. Maybe she was moving. I forget. But they lived in Lime Rock. And so she had Bud West, who played in the Salisbury Band and sung in the Housatonics. And since she lived right in Lime Rock, anyway, the upshot was the Hot Shots, the Salisbury Band Hot Shots, played at the Grove, and we had the Housatonics. Okay, guys, we're going to get together now for another 3 or 4 weeks, and we're going to sing for Eleanor Dorset, and then we're going to be done. And so we did. And it was fun. We had a few more people at that time. I think we had about 20 people. And then the next spring, something else came up. And I forget what it was. But we finally said, look, why don't we just keep on singing? We're all having a good time, and let's just keep going. So that's what we did. And they've been going ever since. I directed them, I think, until 1994. I think maybe, yeah. 95, maybe somewhere in there. 96.
Who took over from you?
Well, let's put it this way. There have been
several.
A succession of directors, some of whom have worked out well, others didn't. But they have kept on and are still going under. And at this point, Donald Sosin directs them when he can, because he did direct them for several years. Then he let somebody else take over. That didn't work out, and so he is back now with them.
Well, I do know that Christine Gavert did it.
Yes,
for a
she
while.
Did it. Yeah,
and that was a very different style of music for her, but she enjoyed it.
Yes, indeed. See, the thing is, barbershop music is a particular type of voice arrangement. with a mixed chorus, for example, men and women, it's SATB. You have the sopranos and altos. Sopranos often have the highest part, often have the melody. Altos, tenors, and basses have the harmonies. With barbershop, you have tenor, lead, baritone, and bass. The tenors are the high harmony part. The second part is the lead. They have the tune. The baritones and the basses ascending down, they have the harmony parts. So with barbershop music, the melody is kind of in the middle, and the tenors on top have the skyrocket part. They have the parts way up on top. And they have pretty much kept that barbershop format through different conductors, although they're, when you get into men's glee club, for example, and we sang some glee club tunes, then it's first tenor, first bass, second bass, and the melody is in the high part as it would be with SATB. And that's the way the music's arranged. But barbershop has a particular flavor because of the different arrangement of the voices and where the melody lies. So that's how we began.
Now, I took the names of the various people that were in the early, and I wondered why there were just two tenors and 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 leads, and now I know why. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
You have to have
strong.
You have to have strong leads, right? Mm. And it's and the tenor, it is a separate animal altogether. Some guys actually sing falsetto.
Yes.
And do quite well at it. Their speaking voice is just as much as anybody else's, but they have a falsetto that they can sing fairly strongly.
I went to one of the singing suppers at Salisbury School, mm-hmm. and we're talking gentlemen from in their 50s up to almost 100, and they did a doo-wop song.
Mm-hmm.
And they came in with the dark glasses and the shirts rolled up, and one of the men, and I don't know who he was, did a bop song with the falsetto, and it was wonderful.
Yeah.
And it blew the audience away. It was just so good. And this, I know that this was one of the ones that Christine had directed.
Sure.
And then the second one that I went to, they did songs in chronological order mm-hmm. to show the difference mm-hmm. of that. And I happened to be sitting at a table next to Bob Estabrook, who physically wasn't able to stand, but he was singing his part.
Sure.
And it was in stereo.
Yeah, Bob was one of the first ones. It's interesting. We started those serenade suppers at the Salisbury Congregational Church because, of course, that's where I was.
Yeah.
John Harney catered it, or at least, yeah, John. And we had several people who actually did the dinner. But it was interesting that during the dinner, of course, the guys were the waiters, and we would sing in amongst the tables as we waited on table. You know, I'd blow the pitch pipe, and we would, because it's all done a cappella.
Oh, yes.
And we would sing, and I think that was, and then we, after the supper, we would go on stage and do a show, in effect. You know, we'd sing, but the singing in amongst the people, I think, became the most popular part of the evening. And I often thought, you know, we have put so much thought and planning into the stage part afterwards, when I think what they enjoyed most was
the informal.
Well, the informal, having be right in the middle of all the singers. And it also put the guys on their mettle, because they were spread out throughout the room. They weren't necessarily right next to somebody singing their own part, which is a way that some choruses, in fact, are, some performing choruses are mixed up. They aren't, don't have a section and a section.
Right.
They mix. Yeah.
So that you have to be strong in your part.
Yeah. In related to that, in 1989, we made a tape. In those days, of course, it was tape. And we went down to Paul Lecca at that mansion, the old Colgate mansion down in Sharon, and he made it into a recording studio. He had been a producer of different recording. I never knew exactly what it was, but anyway, we went down there one Sunday afternoon and made a tape. And then the whole editing process, and which I was involved, it took several goes. But we actually did the taping in one shot. One Sunday afternoon, we did everything, because I knew we were never going to assemble all those guys in the afternoon again. So that worked well, and there are still a few of those tapes around. And we did well. It sounded good. The same year, four of us did The Music Man at Sharon Theater, which was, it wasn't SCAF, it wasn't Sharon Creative Arts Foundation at that point. The guy named Ray something from Pine Plains and his wife, I think, not Robinson, I forget what his name was. He was the director, and it was a community job. They had the leads were two Equity actors, singers, and they were great.
I think I went to see that.
Marshall Miles was the anvil salesman.
He did Shapoopy.
Yes, that's
he
right.
He did Shapoopy.
Yeah, that's right.
And Janine Coleman was Mrs. Peru.
Yes, that's right. but let's see. It was the Barbershop Quartet was me singing tenor, Jack Rogers singing the lead, Howard Reed singing baritone, and Alan Beaumont singing bass. And it, we did a good job. Mm-hmm. It was fun. We had thought, should we include something on the tape with us, we four, with the four of us singing, and we decided not to. It was going to be the group effort, the chorus. We could have, because by the time we were doing okay. A couple of years later, I was in a barbershop quartet at the Mahawi Theater in Great Barrington with a group who did Music Man. Oh, let's see. Well, it would have been in the early 90s. No, it wouldn't. It would have been later than that, because it was after I was with the Housatonics. It was afterwards. I was not with the Housatonics then. And what I'm getting around to, I'm getting back to the singing informally business. I'm just in a stream of consciousness here. We put it on in the Mahawi Theater with a group. The lady was from Berkshire School. I forget her name. She directed, and it was good. We rehearsed at Berkshire School, and then we put it on actually at the Mahawi, and we were good. It went off very well, and actually we wore in both productions we wore the red and white striped jackets and the boulders from the Hot Shots. Mm-hmm. They were Hot Shots jackets. But with the production at the Mahawi Theater, after the last curtain call, and everybody was congratulating themselves and clapping and shaking hands and hugging each other, we went out the back door, and we came down the alley beside the Mahawi, and as people came out, we came around in front and sang at the front, kind of reprise of some. In fact, I can remember we would, and I forget who did it. We would take a woman and sit her on one of our guys' knees, and we'd see, you know, it's you in the sunshine, it's you in my cup, you know, and that was a hit. They loved that.
Oh, sure.
They just loved it. But the idea of getting off the stage and singing in front, again, was one of the real fun and one of the successful parts of that.
Did you ever do competitions like the Sweet Adelines?
No. No, we never did. We weren't members of, they don't like to say this, it was the Svebska, and they don't, it's like a fraternity, people don't like to be called frat. You don't say frat.
Yeah.
And yeah. Svebska is the Society for the Preservation and Encouragement of Barbershop Quartet Singing in America. And you can become affiliated with them, you can get music from them, you can do all kinds of things. And we never went that route. We never did affiliate with them. I am not really a competitive kind of guy.
Do you find that there's still the interest in getting new members? Because the group is still going.
The group is still going. It is reduced in size. I think at most we had 42 guys. We had a
That's a big group.
There, I don't know how many there's not, probably between 15 and 20.
Yes, I think that's about right.
Yes, they're older men are the ones who are interested in that kind of singing. you don't attract too many young people because they just aren't interested really in that kind of music. And it's a fairly stylized format. If you stick with that, it's going to sound like barbershop. No matter what kind of music you sing, it's going to sound like barbershop, and that's okay. That's good. Mm-hmm. But we find that with the town band, we have fewer young people, fewer kids joining because they're not as familiar with that kind of music and they just aren't really attracted to it as much. Older people who have been through different kinds of music and their taste is matured, then they say, okay, this is what I like to do. And same with guys. You get people who, I put it this way, there were people who came to rehearsals and found that they just like to sing, and they'd like to have a sing-along.
And that's different.
Yeah, that's different. And that was no big deal. You know, okay, this is not what they're looking for, so they stopped coming, and that's okay. But yeah, I think the appeal is to somebody who likes to sing and who wants to sing better.
Now, when did you have rehearsals?
We rehearsed on Thursday nights.
Where?
In the Congregational Church Parish Hall. Yeah, because we had choir Wednesday night, and we had Housatonics Thursday nights. Remember, we got together because we didn't have a name. We didn't have a name for it. So we had a spaghetti dinner at our house. I don't remember just why we did it at our house, but I guess it was going to work better or something. I don't know. And I remember we took big pieces of paper, and we wrote down all the different names. You know, we had like freezer paper on the walls, and we wrote down different names. Everybody, you know, can be suggest as many names as you want to. And we walked around, and I think you put down three or four names on a paper. And we went through, this is the way my family and I picked a name for a dog. You put down four names, and the higher the score, you know,
uh-huh.
And it could have been everybody's second choice,
uh-huh.
But that's the way it worked, and it worked, and it satisfied everybody. And it came out to the Housatonics with a capital T. And that's the way we selected the name.
And that's clever because of the river and
mm-hmm. The Tonics.
The Tonics.
Right, right.
Gin and.
Right. what else? We had a lot of fun. Yeah, we sang. We had a couple of, well, we had an Irish night. And we had a set of Irish songs. And we did that for several years.
Around March 17th?
Around March 17th. We had, I may still have the kazoos. I think, no, Barb used the kazoos at Kellogg School when she was teaching music. Because McNamara's band.
Oh, yeah.
He pulled the kazoos out of your pocket. And Al... oh, can't think of his name. Ferguson, Al Ferguson, this big booming bass.
I worked with him.
Yeah, he had a great bass voice. And he sang the second. My name is Uncle Julius, and from Sweden I have come to play in McNamara's band and beat the big bass drum. And he sang that as a solo.
Oh, that would be marvelous.
Yeah, that was cool. And Kent Kay sang Danny Boy. Oh, bring tears to your eyes. We did that several times, and it was a great hit. We also did combinations with the Norwest Tones. And the Norwest Tones is a group in Torrington that went on for years. They started before us. And they were directed by Neil, forget his name, a guy who had been a music teacher in Torrington. And they were good. They were a lot more oriented toward the barbershop society. They were members of it. They were strictly barbershop, and they were good. They were older than we were, actually. And they were falling down, lessening in membership. But we did a show at the high school. We combined with them for a show at the high school. There's a program.
Yes, I saw that. Yeah? I saw that.
And we went to the Warner Theater, and we did one of their shows at the Warner Theater. That was at a time when it was fairly, that was a thing to do. Up until a couple of years ago, the Barbershop Chorus in Waterbury put on an annual big show like that. I don't know if they exist anymore. The Norwest Tones don't exist anymore. But there are still big choruses in bigger cities. I think Manchester, the Silk City group, is still going. I think there's one in Hartford still going. And you can see on YouTube, you can see these huge choruses in the Midwest. A chorus of 100 guys who are just still fantastic. And that's really where music traditions, particularly bands and barbershop, are Midwest.
Yeah, they've moved from the East Coast to the Midwest.
Well, yeah, we are. It hasn't, the huge bands, the huge marching bands out there, and the big choruses. The Mormon Tabernacle Choir wouldn't happen in New England.
No.
Or in California.
No.
It would be in the Midwest.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, that's where barbershop still thrives for the most part. And they still have the competitions. They have the for the quartets and for the big masked choruses and the women. What do they call them? They used to call them Sweet Alice.
They still
well,
are.
But it's a different. It's Harmony International or something like that.
Oh, I have a friend from Dalton that sings in the Sweet Adelines, and they do competitions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's why I asked you about that.
Yeah. There was a chorus in, I think it was Waterbury, a woman's chorus, and they were good. I know that there were two ladies when I taught at Kent Center. There were two ladies in the Kent faculty that sang with them. Or, it wasn't Torrington. I think it was Waterbury. Yeah. So anyway, it was a fun time. We had a lot of guys who really enjoyed singing. Speaking of Al Thurgood, remember Ray Hongs?
Ray Hongs.
He was an aide, I think.
Yes, he was.
In kindergarten or something.
He
was a character. He lived in Lime Rock. And he called himself a tin knocker. He was a tinsmith. He made that beautiful copper hood over the Salisbury Church kitchen stove top, which probably is worth a lot more today than it was then. And we had our uniform. We had the uniform that we supplied was the tie. We had a rep tie with blue with red and white stripes, which was very tasteful. And in fact, you had to really look close to see it was red and white, but it was very nice. And we ordered 4 dozen or something like that. And the guys had to supply their gray slacks and a blue blazer. So, and they still do. They still do that. I had some of the older guys who couldn't really tie a tie very well. I mean, we were talking guys who were old. In fact, When Evan Roshkoff, the surgeon at Sharon Hospital, came to town, he saved the Housatonics in some respects, because I'm looking at the Housatonics and I'm thinking, how many hips and knees have been put in by Evan Rush. Really,
yeah.
You know, these guys who,
yeah.
Well, maybe if it hadn't been Evan, it would be somebody else. But,
yeah.
But you know, these guys would be in wheelchairs. Anyway, we had some old guys. And Ray Holmes, for example, was somebody who couldn't tie a tie. He just,
no.
You know, and Jim Du Bois
had trouble with it.
Well, his hands would, you know,
yeah,
okay, no problem. No problem. So, and they said, they came up to me privately when we got these ties and said, you know, I can't tie a tie. I said, don't worry, we'll have some guy tie it. So anyway, we get to a performance and Ray Holmes comes in with this tie. He's all dressed, you know, but he's got this tie. And he said, I can't tie it. Can somebody do it? Al Ferguson said, okay, Ray, here, I can do it. here, lie down. And Ray says, well, why do I lie down? Well, Al says, you know, I used to work for an undertaker, and this is the only way I can tie a tie. Well, you know, Ray started to lie down. And Al said, no, Ray, I was just kidding.
And I can see him doing
sure,
that with
sure.
A straight face.
But you know, it's almost, I've said this to the guys, not I didn't make an issue of it, but I'm just thinking about those days. It really is almost criminal how good guys can sound after a couple of rehearsals. When you have a mixed chorus, you don't get the natural blend of voices. You know, you have to work to get a blend with the two different timbres of voices.
Yes.
But with men, boy, you get them together, and if they know that part,
it comes out strong.
It was at that very first Progressive dinner. I was blown away by how good we sang after a couple of rehearsals. I thought, my gosh, you know, you guys really sound good. And the guys knew it.
And now, that's important.
Oh, yeah. Now, at that first performance, we sang from books.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when we sang the next, you know, I said, okay, now, guys, we're going to do this right.
No,
we're going to memorize it. Oh, I can't do it. Blah, blah. Well,
sure they could.
These tape recorders, we had four of them, and we sat around Alan Beaumont's dining room table. And each of us had a mic in front of him, and we would sing I'd blow the pitch pipe, and we would sing a song. And what we did was to make practice tapes from, so with Howard Reed, I think it was the four of us for the Barbershop Quartet in Music Man. You know, if you were a baritone, we made eight tapes, and you took that one, and that was Howard Reed singing it.
You practiced
that, and I had made the tenor, and Jack Rogers had the lead, and Alan Beaumont had the bass, and you heard everybody, but you could especially hear your own part.
Yeah.
And that was a big boom.
Oh yeah, that would
was
be
a
wonderful
great,
way.
It was a great thing to do.
Oh.
And that's where these tape recorders
came from.
And I'm glad it's still working.
It still is. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
I'm sure I'll think of something, you know, a half hour from now, but no, I think I've given a good picture.